What was it like to grow up with a congenital heart defect in the 1980s and the 1990s? How did children with congenital heart defects find one another before Facebook and Instagram? What kind of relationship could be forged by attending a special summer camp for children with congenital heart defects? Welcome to Heart to Heart with Anna. I am Anna Jaworski and your host. I'm also a heart mom to an adult who was born with a single ventricle heart and who was born in 1994. This is the reason I'm the host of your program. Today's guests are Emily Falcon and Mabel. With me today are two very special ladies. Emily Falcon was born in 1982, and at 7 weeks of age, she had a heart attack that destroyed 40% of the left side of her heart. She was born with a condition known as Alkappa, anomalous origin of the left coronary artery from the pulmonary artery. Emily has had two open heart surgeries, one at age 6 and another at age 35. The second surgery provided Emily with a quality of life she never could have dreamed of. Emily has written a memoir about her experiences of growing up with a congenital heart defect and other medical conditions that prevented her from having the quality of life she did dream of. In her memoir, From the Sidelines to the Finish Line, she shares how her condition made her feel different, but how she persevered and how her last surgery totally changed her life. Throughout her memoir, we're introduced to Mabel, Emily's best friend. Mabel was also born with a congenital heart condition. She was born with transposition of the great vessels and has also had open heart surgery. Mabel also developed sick sinus syndrome and required a pacemaker. Mabel and Emily met at a summer camp for children with congenital heart defects and struck up a friendship that has lasted for decades. Today, Emily and Mabel are here to talk about growing up with a congenital heart defect, how their friendship has blossomed, and we'll also talk about Emily's upcoming book. I'll talk with Emily in the first segment and then with Mabel in the second, and in the third segment, we'll all be together in the studio. So welcome to Heart with Anna, Emily.
Thank you so much for having me, Anna.
I'm so excited to talk to you about your book and to meet Mabel. I'm super excited about that. Let's talk about, first of all, what your heart condition is, because I think it's a fairly rare condition, and I don't think many people know about it.
Sure. Alkappa occurs one in every 300,000 births, so yes, it's very rare. And it means the left coronary artery arises abnormally from the pulmonary artery. And after the heart attack I had as a baby, it damaged my mitral valve so that it regurgitated blood instead of circulating it.
Wow, that's a lot to take in. When I first learned about your condition, I reached out to one of my medical advisory board members because I didn't really know much about Alkappa. So I asked him if he would explain it a little bit better to me. And he said that Alkappa refers to a condition where the left coronary artery originates from the pulmonary artery instead of from the aorta. As the pressure in the pulmonary artery fails in the weeks after birth, as the lungs fully expand, there's not enough pressure to propel the blood into the left coronary artery to perfuse the heart muscle, resulting in a heart attack. The left ventricle can be significantly damaged, although blood from the right coronary artery can cross over to the left via collaterals. And a lot of you have heard about collaterals because it's not specific to Alkappa. Other heart conditions can also cause the development of collateral vessels being created in the heart. This does protect the heart to a degree, and typically this occurs around a month or two of age. Surgery can be done to reattach the left coronary artery to the aorta, restoring normal blood flow. But I think that is something that can be done now and maybe was not as commonly done when you were born, Emily.
Yes, that's correct. They bypassed it and tied it off in me instead.
Wow. So you're a living legend in some ways, aren't you?
Yes, that's embarrassing to say, but I think so in the medical world.
I know. You feel far too young, I'm sure, to be a living legend. But I think it's really cool that you not only have survived this, that is amazing, but also that you're willing and able to talk about it because Now there are more and more adult survivors of some of these unusual conditions. Even though they weren't able to take care of that condition way back when, like they can do it now. It seems like a more definitive fix now than what they were able to do back then.
Yes, they weren't very sure what to do with me at all. And many doctors consulted with other hospitals to try to figure out. And there were all different opinions because no one had really survived before me. So there were no examples to look up. But my doctors decided since I needed that ring that they should wait to do the surgery until I grew because they didn't want to have to replace it if I grew too large. So the longer we could wait, the better. And I did have those collateral arteries, which is why I survived the heart attack.
Wonderful. That's so good to know that you understand that well enough that you can actually explain it. And that helps other people to understand as well. I know I have a friend whose son was born with hypoplastic right heart syndrome. And that child also developed collateral vessels that helped him to live long enough to get the surgery he needed. So it's amazing to me how the body can compensate for some of the problems that it has in order to allow you to live to 6 years of age. I can't believe you were six before you had your first surgery. That's amazing.
Yes, I was in congestive heart failure and it wasn't smooth sailing. So I don't want to paint the wrong picture, but they didn't have to do anything until then, even though it was considered many other times.
You know what? That's a really good point because yes, you were in congestive heart failure and you're right. It wasn't smooth sailing. One of the things as a heart mom, I worried about with my youngster once the heart defect was diagnosed was, oh my goodness, what if my child gets a bad cold? Because for heart warriors, sometimes a bad cold can turn into pneumonia and stay in the hospital. It can even be life-threatening. So you're right. Those years before you have a surgery that prepares your heart to function better, it's pretty scary.
Yes, I didn't get pneumonia actually till after my first surgery, but I didn't go out much as a child because of the germs. I couldn't have much salt because of the heart failure. I obviously did not play sports or do anything very active ever until the second surgery, but especially as a child and before the surgery, I napped quite often. I don't even think I cried very much except for the day I had the heart attack because that was too much energy. And that was how my mom knew something was wrong because I actually cried for the first time for a long time.
Oh, wow. Wow. So why did you decide to write a memoir about your experience, Emily?
I wrote From the Sidelines to the Finish Line about living with chronic illness because I wanted to spread the word that anyone, despite their challenges, can try anything with modifications. And if you feel up to something, you should take advantage of your health and don't let opportunities pass you by. Mabel and I didn't have books like this when we were younger to read about people with similar illness. I read books about children with cancer to try to relate to somebody. The Babysitter's Club had a character with diabetes, but she only mentioned when she was in crisis. There wasn't really non-catastrophe books. So I just wanted to show really the day-to-day life of a non-catastrophe chronic illness. And that things can change and will always be up and down. And recently, Mabel mentioned to me that she has a friend of a friend in her early 20s who didn't know any other heart warriors like herself. And she felt alone. And I feel like she could benefit from a book like this. And it's important that even though we all have different experiences, we are part of the same community and can provide comfort to those who are going through challenges.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What was the hardest part about telling your story?
It was very challenging for me to write about my emotions. I can write about them in a disconnected way without really expressing many feelings, but all of my early readers wanted more from me. And since I've experienced AFib as an adult, I found it's triggered by emotions, happy, sad, anger, anything can do it, washing my hair. So I have shut that feeling off of excitement or happiness. I was worried that writing might trigger it. I really had to push myself to feel those feelings again in order to do it. So that was the hardest thing.
Home Tonight Forever by the Baby Blues Sound Collective.
I think what I love so much about this CD is that some of the songs were inspired by the patients.
Many listeners will understand many of the different songs and what they've been inspired by. Our new album will be available on iTunes, Amazon.com, Spotify.
I love the fact that the proceeds from this CD are actually going to help those with congenital heart defects.
Enjoy the music.
Home Tonight Forever. This content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. The opinions expressed in the podcast are not those of Hearts Unite the Globe, but of the hosts and guests, and are intended to spark discussion about issues pertaining to congenital heart disease or bereavement.
You are listening to Heart to Heart with Anna. If you have a question or comment that you would like addressed on our show, please send an email to Anna Jaworski at anna@hearttoheartwithanna.com. That's anna@hearttoheartwithanna.com. Now, back to Heart to Heart with Anna.
Welcome to Heart with Anna, Mabel.
Thank you. Very excited to be here.
I'm so excited to talk to you because I didn't say in the opening that Baby Hearts Press is actually the imprint for Emily's book. And so I have been helping her through her publishing process. And it has been so exciting for me to read her book, to see it grow and change. And I feel like I know you, Mabel, even though I don't. So today I'm going to get a chance to know you a lot better. This is going to be so much fun. Let's have you start by sharing what it was like to go to summer camp for the first time. And I want to know, did you meet Emily at your very first summer camp?
I did. I started going at age 7, and I think I met Emily a few years later. That was the first camp. I was young. That was the first camp, but it was a real community. As Emily said before, it was really a place where they encourage you to do all the things that kids do, but with a different sense of camaraderie, without some of the competition that you see in other camps. It was able to participate without feeling that you couldn't keep up. And to me, that really gave all the kids there the ability to really participate, to really feel that they weren't going to be embarrassed, couldn't do something another kid could do. This was really important to have that camaraderie between the other campers. And it was a small camp as well, which I think was beneficial. All the kids would get meds after dinner. It wasn't weird to have to go to the nurse and get your medicine. All the kids were going to get medicine.
And this camp was specifically for kids with heart defects,
correct, right? Yeah, it was.
So did everybody have similar scars?
Yeah, a lot of zippers. Everyone had a zipper. So it felt, it was just common to see. It wasn't strange to see. Nobody asked, nobody looked. If you compared it because you wanted to, not because you felt that somebody was questioning, what's that from? And it was more comfortable to share your story. You would get a story back. It was more of a two-way street than a one-way street of you having to be the only one explaining what happened to you.
Yeah. And I imagine as a 7-year-old, perhaps in school, kids would notice your scar and maybe talk to you about it. And talking to those children was probably a very different experience than talking to some of the other campers.
100%. Very different. Coming from a different place. Even if kids are curious, they ask questions. I don't think children ever mean it and trying to make you feel bad, but you can't help but think that it has been frustrating you, because it is in a way. So when you're talking to another kid who has an experience, they can share back. It's a very different experience, and it bonds you in a different way.
Yes. I'm wondering, when you meet somebody at camp, because I never went to camp as a kid, I've never ever been to a summer camp. Is it the kind of thing where you meet up and maybe you ask each other or you notice each other's scars and you talk about it? And then after that, are you just a kid, or is it something that you revisit over and over?
Yeah, I think for me, Emily and I would have been friends no matter what. We had things in common, right? We just got along. We're not friends because we have congenital heart defects. We're friends because we're similar people, but the congenital heart defect is a deeper level of understanding and connection, and you rely on each other in a different way. So it's just a deepening of a deep friendship, basically.
I love that. I love that. So what did you think when Emily said she wanted to write a memoir?
I was very surprised. As Emily said before, she keeps a lot of things internally. And of course, I know a lot about Emily and we share, but the thought of her wanting to go out and really spread her feelings and what her experience was surprising, but in a great way, because she has been through a lot and she's conquered a lot. And I think for her to be able to put that out there, it's good for her too. And I think it's good for everyone who's going to really hear her story and be inspired by it, be comforted by it. Emily is always very honest. And I think the book is very honest as well.
So have you read it?
I did. I read it. And I learned a lot about her. I think that everyone has things inside them that maybe they keep it internally. And so as close as you are to somebody, you can always learn something. You can always learn what it felt like for somebody in a different way. And so I think hearing it was helpful to me too, to relate to my own experiences and to maybe look at something with a different lens or a different perspective. Yeah, even if it's not exactly the same experience, it's still something that is relatable to me.
Has this made you contemplate writing your own memoir?
I think Emily was really determined. We used to write as kids and fun. I enjoy it, but Emily really buckled down and really did it. You have to really have the willpower to sit and do it. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of time. And I think I have an interesting story, but I don't know if I have the dedication Emily has to really, really be able to put that on paper and really feel like it really matters to her to feel that she's connecting with people and doing something important for people. And I think that's probably a huge driving force, is knowing what an impact it's going to have.
Absolutely. So you said you learned some new things about Emily. I think one of the things that bears telling is that even though you girls became best friends at summer camp, you all did not live close to each other. You didn't go to the same school. You didn't see each other every weekend.
No, we were of AOL era. We would sign on AOL to have instant message chats, or you get on the phone and talk for all hours, but we were far apart. And so we had to find ways to connect as best that we could. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have Wi-Fi. Yeah. I think we would send letters to each other in the mail too, cut out magazines, stickers, different time.
It was a different time. I still have an AOL address.
I think a lot of people actually do.
I love that. I love it. I think it's fascinating the way you girls, even though you didn't live in the same state, you weren't near each other. After summer camp, you were like, no, we still need to keep in touch with each other. And you wrote good old fashioned snail mail to each other, as well as connecting on the internet, which was really new way back then when AOL was young. It was really new. In fact, it's funny that you said what you did about the chat when my kid was two. So this was still in the late 1990s. That's the first time I got online, and it was dial-up. You girls remember dial-up?
Yeah.
And you would be so excited when it would make the final connection and you knew that you could talk to somebody. And we used to have a Friday night chat that was just for HLHS parents. And so while a lot of my friends were off, because I live in Texas, a lot of them were off watching football games at the local high school, I was sitting at my computer talking to friends around the world about their kids with hypoplastic left heart syndrome. So were you in a chat with other people, or were you in a private chat with just the two of you?
Just each other. We didn't, I don't recall ever meeting anyone else through the internet that way. Also, I don't recall ever looking up information about anything the way people, I think, can look up information now. I think it's good, but I think meeting people, whether it's in a chat or in real life and connecting with them, is a really important piece beyond just understanding the medical background and say, this can happen to people. It's different when you can talk to somebody who maybe has experienced it or is a couple steps ahead of you in their journey, their cardiac journey, or whatever journey it is, because it's different than reading about something on WebMD and not really understanding how it's going to feel or if you're experiencing that or not.
Anna Jaworski has written several books to empower the congenital heart defect, or CHD, community. These books can be found at Amazon.com or at her website, www.babyheartspress.com. Her bestseller is The Heart of a Mother, an anthology of stories written by women for women in the CHD community. Anna's other books, My Brother Needs an Operation, The Heart of a Father, and Hypoplastic Left Heart Syndrome, A Handbook for Parents, will help you understand that you are not alone. Visit babyheartspress.com to find out more. Heart to Heart with Anna is a presentation of Hearts Unite the Globe and is part of the HUG Podcast Network. Hearts Unite the Globe is a nonprofit organization devoted to providing resources to the congenital heart defect community to uplift, empower, and enrich the lives of our community members. If you would like access to free resources pertaining to the CHD community, please visit our website at www.congenitalheartdefects.com for information about CHD, the hospitals that treat children with CHD, summer camps for CHD survivors, and much, much more.
Now we have Emily and Mabel in the studio with me. We're all together. And I want to start by asking each of you to share a special memory with me that you have of each other. And Mabel, I'd like to start with you.
Special memory. There's a lot. I guess I would say I lived abroad for a semester in college. And Emily was one of the couple of friends who came over to visit me. And I think we were 20 or 21 at the time. We were in Italy. And who would have thought that little girls who met 9, 10 years old, 10 years later, around having glasses of wine in Italy, we're walking around Rome. And we come so far ourselves physically as well to be able to go abroad, live abroad, do these things and enjoy these experiences together. I cherish that a lot. That was like a great, really special trip, a really wonderful part of my abroad experience. I'll share it with her.
Oh, I love that story. That is so amazing. And that was not in the book. So I just learned something new. That was amazing. Okay. What about you, Emily? Share a special memory with me of being with Mabel.
Sure. That's a really hard one because all my greatest memories are with her. But I think, as you mentioned, how we used to visit each other once a year. So we went to the mall one day and we used to love to watch Friends, the TV show, together. And we loved the song lyrics and everything in the beginning for I'll Be There For You. And on our shopping trip, we found a best friend forever necklace in the shape of a heart that said, I'll be there for you, that split in half so we could each keep one half. And it was perfect, not just because of the Friends TV show connection, but our deep connection.
Oh, I love that. I can totally imagine the two of you girls being excited, finding the necklace, and then each of you having half of it. So do you still have your necklace?
Yep.
For sure. Yep. They get it right.
Oh my gosh, that's so awesome. I just love that. That's wonderful. Okay, ladies, I'd love for you both to share with me a piece of advice that you have for others who are growing up with a congenital heart defect. And Emily, I'll start with you this time.
I'd say you're not alone. And the best advice I ever got was actually given to me from Mabel only a few years ago. She told me, I've learned not to get mad at what my body can't do and be thankful what it can do. Start where you can and grow what you can. I think it's really easy to get mad and frustrated at everything that makes us different, but you can appreciate the things you can do because they won't always be there and you'll regret not trying your best when you had the ability.
Oh, I love that. That's excellent advice, Mabel. Now, did she steal the thunder from you or do you have other advice?
Literally, she stole the thunder. But I don't have more advice. Don't worry. My advice is to be your own best advocate. Owning your condition is so important. Be your own champion. Speak up. Ask questions. I ask so many questions. I ask the same question in different ways and I say back what I think I'm understanding because I want to be completely in the know of my options, what I'm dealing with, what I'm facing. It can be scary, but knowledge is power.
Oh, I love that. That is so true. And I think that's another reason why Emily writing this book is so important because it provides more knowledge. And even though what she's gone through may not be what the reader is going through, they can see the questions that she asked and the struggles that she went through. They'll learn about some of the jargon if they're a heart patient or if they have problems with their eyes or some of the other problems that Emily had that she talked about in her book, because her book is about chronic illness. It's not just about her heart condition. And I think you're right. Learning to be your own best advocate, learning to ask questions, That is so critical. I'm curious, do you girls usually bring somebody with you to your medical appointments so you have that other set of ears to hear what's being said?
Since I've been an adult, as in going to college, no. My parents stopped coming with me. But when I was scheduled for the surgery, I said, "You're coming to meet the surgeon with me." I didn't say it was a question. And so my first post-op checkup, I had them come as well, and my sister. But other than that, routine checkups and echoes, EKG type tests, they don't come. I go alone.
I agree. I have the same experience. I feel confident managing as much as I can. If there's something going on, I want another person in the room to make sure that everything is being captured. Because it can be overwhelming, and you go home and you're like, "What? I don't remember all of this stuff." And having someone else there to process it is helpful for those big talks.
It helps me to hear you ladies say that, because my own heart warrior turned 18 and said, "Mom, you don't need to come with me anymore. You've been preparing me all my life for this." And I felt hurt. I was like, "Wait, I'm the record keeper. Wait, I'm the one who has been to every single appointment." And listening to you ladies explain it the way that you just did, that you're good at managing it, but that you know when to reach out for help, that makes me feel better. So hopefully my heart warrior will reach out to me if she needs me. But she's been navigating the waters really well herself. So I think it's really impressive how you all grow up with these really complicated conditions and you do go to those appointments alone.
I think it's a testament to you as a parent and other heart warrior parents. That's what you want. You want your child to be able to manage the condition and to feel confident and secure and empowered and know you're there if they need you.
Thank you. Knowing that we're there if they need us, that's really important. But thank you for saying that, because you're right. And one of the things that you know once you become a parent is that your child will probably, hopefully, outlive you. If you haven't prepared them for how to take care of themselves, what's going to happen when you're gone? So you definitely want them to be empowered and able to take care of themselves. I can't believe our time is almost up. This has gone by so fast. You girls are so much fun to talk to. But before we close, let's talk about the importance of having books like Emily's available to read. Mabel, can you tell me what it means to you to have Emily's book launching today? Today is the day that it is available to the whole wide world.
I'm very proud of her. I think twofold. I think for me, it's like a snapshot of my history is in there too. So, but having a book like this, you have a friend on call in a way. You can pick it up and you can just have it in your pocket when you need it. We know that the community is important, that educating yourself is important, and pushing yourself in the right ways is important. But sometimes you just want to have something there at hand quickly to refer to. And I think you find your passages, you find the chapters that relate to you, you find the things that stick with you, and it always just reach out and you can grab it.
I love that. You always have a friend right there with you. How sweet is that? Okay. What about you, Emily? Tell us what it's meant for you to write and publish your book.
So as a motivator, when I was writing, I kept telling myself, it's not just my book, it's Mabel's too. Because as you can tell, I'm a bit timid and she's really brave. So I thought, be brave like Mabel and share with anyone, not just me. Like, she will tell a stranger and I would never unless I had to. And she's always been really brave about scars. She doesn't hide them. And I'm not very brave. So I just kept saying, push myself. Don't give up. I want to help people. And young people need something like this, because I always wanted to hear about somebody who was older than me who had my condition and thriving. Because I always heard about other people with more common conditions. So I just hope this can help even people who don't have Alkepa see you can grow up and get older and go through ups and downs and thrive. And my biggest wish is that this helps people.
Yeah, so you can meet your friend in Paris and have a glass of wine together. How awesome is that? Just love it.
We did a lot last year.
What's that?
You were in London last year.
We met up in London last year.
Oh,
it was fun. We had a great time.
What did you do in London? Did you take in any plays?
Oh, no. Mabel has a fancy job. So it was a business trip for her. And I was there on vacation. So we met for a very nice Italian fancy dinner. And we didn't have time for shopping or the sights because she's so busy. But It was great. We went to dinner and we'd never done anything so grown up like that together in a way. Because usually we just go on a little vacation somewhere nearby to our houses, never overseas.
Oh my goodness. That sounds like so much fun. I'm so glad that you girls could share. Really, it is a joint story. You shared both of your stories with the world. And Mabel, I imagine Emily asked you if it was okay with you for her to share as much as she did, because she shared text messages and conversations. And I want to thank you for opening up and allowing her to share that with the world.
Yeah, of course. Anything for Emily.
I just love you too. I wish I could give you girls both a big hug, because you're just so wonderful. And you have the kind of friendship I think everybody wishes they had. Everybody needs a best friend like the two of you have one another.
It's true. Very lucky.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming on the program with me today, Emily. This has been so much fun. Let's tell everybody where they can find your book.
The master website is Baby Hearts Press, Anna's website. So you can go there to click on links to buy it in paperback, audiobook, or ebook, and it will direct you to the retailer of your choice.
Isn't that awesome? I'm so impressed that you have it available in audiobook, ebook, and a printed book. That is just amazing. Did you do the narration yourself?
Nope. I hate reading aloud. Nope.
Okay. So you found a voice actor to do the narration for you?
Yes. She's very good. I hope everyone enjoys it. If you prefer audiobook, then you just have to imagine Mabel's voice when you hear her talking in the story.
Yeah, now that we've all heard Mabel, we know what she sounds like. But that is wonderful. So I wish you the best of luck, friends. Do check it out. I'll put a link in the show notes. It is babyheartspress.com. Emily has her own page. It'll take you directly to the type of book you want to buy. So thank you, Mabel, for coming on the show today. This has been so much fun.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thanks, Emily. I have a feeling we're going to be hearing more from you in the future.
Thank you. And thank you for all the opportunities you've given me.
I'm so excited about this. Friends, that does conclude this episode of Heart to Heart with Anna. Thanks for listening today. I hope you found this program as enjoyable as I did. It has been so much fun talking to these two best friends. If you liked the episode, please consider becoming a patron to support our program. And remember, my friends, you are not alone.
Thank you again for joining us this week. We hope you have become inspired and empowered to become an advocate for the congenital heart community. Heart to Heart with Anna, with your host, Anna Jaworski, can be heard at any time, wherever you get your podcasts. A new episode is released every Tuesday from noon Eastern Time.